From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Continuing to study the life of Christ, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message called Gethsemane, Christ's Perfection Revealed in the Fires of Testing. With full knowledge that the agony of the cross lay but hours before him, the Lord Jesus sought the Father in prayer there in the garden. So must we prepare ourselves for our own times of severe testing by constantly staying in touch with God through a consistent and fervent prayer life. Dr. Cairns will bring the message in a few minutes. First, however, he brings today's hot topic, a warning that a proposal now before the Federal Communications Commission may silence Christian radio stations.
The Federal Communications Commission is currently considering new regulations that could have a dramatic, even fatal influence on Christian radio stations across the country. What is being considered is a proposal to require every radio station to take programming advice from community advisory boards representative of the area's population. With regard to secular stations, many of which are vehicles to corrupt the morals of our youth with their violent rap music, there may well be a need for community voices to be heard. But a special case should be made for Christian radio stations. Why? Because we're facing a concerted effort by well-organized radical groups to drive any overt Christian voice from the public square. In many, perhaps most cases, the proposal before the FCC would force Christian stations off the air. As WorldNet Daily reported, advocates of Christian programming say that the proposal would require Christian broadcasters to seek advice from non-Christians and even those opposed to the Christian message. Some radio stations fear organized groups of atheists, for instance, could demand representation on the new FCC-mandated advisory boards that would factor into licensing decisions. If the FCC were to implement this proposal, it would be a gift to the enemies of the gospel. It would place the activists of organizations such as the ACLU and other liberal groups in the position of being able to dictate to a large extent what Christian radio stations may air. It could well allow them to censor just about anything, no matter how biblical, from the airwaves. That has been the aim of the radical left for a long time. Just imagine if a Christian radio station were barred from telling what the Bible says about matters of doctrine or morality, just because a crowd of humanistic or theologically liberal activists organized against them. There are many professedly Christian radio stations that are hardly worthy of the name. I admit that. With their rock music and worldly agenda, they're no great asset to the cause of Christ. But to place the power to shut stations down in the hands of people who are sworn enemies of the gospel that they are seeking to preach is not right. Christian stations already have to face the most severe of all forms of public evaluation. If they don't serve enough people in their communities satisfactorily, they'll not survive financially. Without money, they can't survive. That's the way the FCC should leave matters. Let the public decide in the most obvious manner if a station serves its interests. Keep radical activists' hands off Christian radio stations. Don't try to force Christians to make the message of God's word acceptable to the anti-Christian thinking and philosophy of atheists and other Christ rejectors. At the moment, The proposal I've been talking about is under consideration. It has not been adopted by the FCC, at least not as yet. Public comment on the issue was accepted until April 28, and many people and organizations took the opportunity to make their views known. We need to pray that the Lord will stop this proposal dead in its tracks, that radical activists will not be given a virtual veto power over Christian radio stations. To give them the kind of power envisaged in the proposal before the FCC would really be putting the fox in charge of the hen coop.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Gethsemane. Now, I want us today just to focus on this.
the glorious perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ revealed in these fires of testing. There are, I think, three striking aspects of Christ's person and perfection here in view. When you look at Gethsemane, you must first of all see Christ and His Father. Obviously, you can see Christ against Satan. I'm leaving that out today because I think I dealt with that much more fully the last time we were in this subject. Christ and His Father. And there you will see the perfection of the Son. Then we see Christ and His disciples. And there you see the perfection of Christ the Savior. Then we see Christ and His enemies, in which we see the perfection of the Sovereign. Let's consider very briefly each of these. First, as we think of the Lord Jesus there in the garden, praying, waiting upon the Father, crying out, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." Christ in the place of prayer, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in those last climactic hours before He's led away to be tried and then to be crucified. The perfection of the Son is here on view. As you look at the Lord Jesus in this, you must be struck with the close and the constant communion that He, as the Son, held with the Father. Now, I'm not talking about the essential community that is in the Holy Trinity. I'm not speaking particularly here of that union and communion of Father and Son from all eternity. I'm speaking more of the communion of the man, Christ Jesus, God manifested in the flesh. I'm speaking of the Savior here as He is on earth, holding constant, deep, close communion with His Father. This has been the story of His life. For every day was a day of communion. Every day was a day of constant intercourse with the Father. Again and again, and you'll see this particularly in the Gospel of Luke, there is emphasis upon how the Savior prayed, how often He prayed, under what circumstances He prayed, the time He spent in prayer, how He would get alone to pray, how whatever the busyness of the day, however long and arduous the hours of service publicly had been, yet He would not retire until He had got alone with God. Getting up a great way before the day, He would get alone with the Father so that He would have time. For the man, Christ Jesus, was circumscribed by time as we are. There were only 24 hours in each day for the Lord Jesus as He did His job, just as there are 24 hours for you and me. In order to meet the demands of the day, He would be up a long way before the dawn in order that He would meet with the Father. Can I just say that that was preparation for this? And while there is no precise parallel between any other man, even the greatest of saints, and the Lord Jesus Christ, yet nonetheless we may learn from Him. We are all, sooner or later. Let me rephrase that. We are all, sooner than later, going to have our Gethsemanes. We are all going to be approaching the valley of the shadow of death. And for us it will be a time of physical weakness. It will be a time when in the flesh we are least capable of dealing with the pressures that come upon us. And we will find then what I have said 100 times from this platform, that Satan is a foe so malicious, so malignant, so absolutely evil that he knows no mercy. And if he's ever attacked you in life, he will attack you much more as you're entering into the valley of the shadow of death. And I tell you, my friend, that is a time when we as the sons of God need to be in tune with the Son of God himself and to do what he was able to do, and in that hour have sweet and blessed and close and deep and real communion with God. But the key to that comes in the times beforehand. How difficult it is for people who have not watched and not prayed as they ought or in any way near what they ought, who have not been careful to maintain the closeness of fellowship with their Father in heaven, how difficult then in the hour of extreme weakness of mind and body, when all hell is let loose against them to oppress them and depress them and if possible to destroy them, or at least their testimony, how hard then to know the sweetness of this blessed communion. The Son in this darkest hour was in the closest possible fellowship and communion with God. Oh, make us more like Christ in everything, but certainly in this. As we see him there in close communion with God, his Father, we are struck with the voluntary submission that he expressed to the Father's will. At the end of the day, that is always one of the inalienable marks of true communion with God. Communion with God is not a bargaining session. Communion with our Father is not a time of give and take. Communion with God prostrates the soul before him. It opens the heart and the mind to the will of God. And with a joyous willingness, the soul cries, "Thy will be done." Not my will. Not my thought. Not my desire. Thy will be done. The voluntary submission of the Savior to his Father's will. Though he were a son, Paul tells us in writing to the Hebrews in chapter 5, though he were a son, in spite of the fact that he is the Son of God, yet in coming into the world, he so humbled himself that he became obedient, submissive to the Father's will. And as we see that willingness for the Father's will worked out in a complete surrender of all his powers to accomplish that will. You see, when the Lord Jesus was there in Gethsemane's garden, he was saying, "If it be thy will, take this cup, this particular affliction," or as we are told in the Gospels, "this hour," that take it, let it pass from me, this awful attack of hell that is seeking my destruction before I can even get to the cross. In praying for that, the Lord Jesus is handing over, as it were, all the powers of his mind and his body, all the perfection of his being, every attribute and characteristic, every ability, every gift, every grace with which the Holy Spirit had endued his humanity, in order to bring to absolute fulfillment all that his Father's will had purposed. There is the perfection of the Son. Now are we the sons of God. We are not perfect in anything except in what we have in Christ. We are not perfect in any part of our experience. But we, without being perfect, can yet be Christ-like. We are commanded to be like Him. We are the disciples of our Master. And certainly in our communion with God, we are to be in that place of the voluntary submission of our wills to the will of the Father and the complete surrender of our entire being and powers, the giving back to God of all the gifts and graces with which He has endued us, in order that we should accomplish the Father's will. The perfection of the Son.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.